I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of...
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, Scripture says this, that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. So what you see Jesus do, God does. What you see Jesus care about, God cares about. And over again, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you can clearly see how God cares for the poor. In fact, he goes so far as to say, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, you lend to me, and I myself will repay you. I want you to think about that. When we are his hands and feet, when we're tending to the things that he cares about, it's like we're shouting to the world, this is what God is like. This is who he is. This is how he is. And this is why it matters so much to him that we tend to those that much of the world disregards. You know, it's been said that there's enough wealth in our world to end global poverty in our day. And I believe that's true. Wouldn't that be just something if we were the generation that says it's enough already? We are going to give out of our resources for those who have nothing, and we're going to see an end to global poverty. Well, that's why I'm thrilled to welcome Farron Dice to the program. He's the National Director for Radio and Artist Engagement with One Child. And we are so proud and honored to be partnering with One Child. We're hoping and praying that together we can sponsor 250 children. If you go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and you'll see a link there, a sponsor a child, and you can click on it. And you see all these children. You know, I've got my daughter-in-law's 50% Filipino. So our grandchildren have Filipino blood, and they're so beautiful and so darling. And I'm staring at these kids going, I want to adopt all of them. I mean, you see these children. You can learn more about them. We want so much to believe God for big things. Can you help us? You can hop on our website, myfaithradio.com. Look for the One Child sponsorship. And One Child says this on their website, we are a global community of child champions that serves children in poverty so that they can discover hope and reach their God-given potential. You know, we talk every day about you reaching your God-given potential, but what if we partnered together so these children could reach theirs as well? Farron, so honored to talk with you today. I know off the air we were talking, you are stretched to your limit probably right now with all the work you're doing, but thank you for giving us your time today.
It is so good to be here. We're so thankful for this partnership with My Faith Radio. You all are amazing, and it's obvious to me that you guys have a heart for the poor, heart for children. That's what we have. And by the way, people should go to your website because they can see a specific child, not just a bunch of kids in a group picture, one specific child that you're called a sponsor.
So true. And I sit there and I look through these pictures of these darling children, and I find myself praying and I'm just believing, man, what if we could sponsor them all? And we're going to get into that in a moment, but I want to just talk about you for a bit. We start every conversation every single day talking Scripture, and I'm just wondering, Farron, just as a man of God, in your own just personal time with Him, what's He been impressing upon your heart these days?
You threw me a curve, right? You must do this to everybody.
Yes.
I want to start instead of just jumping into One Child. Let's talk about this. Okay, this is so good because this is on my heart. I am 2 weeks late, almost 3 weeks late, I guess, for New Year's resolutions, but I have mine, and I got it through listening to Scripture and listening to a Bible study. That's how slow I am. Like, I'm 3 weeks late about everything, right? So, I really believe that in 2022, here's mine. I'm going to let go of some anger and regret. And it comes from listening to 2 Chronicles, and I'm listening to this Bible teacher talk about King Asa. I'm not sure that king, and the Bible teacher said, because this King Asa wouldn't let go of anger and regret, he only made things worse.
Wow.
When he was king over the church. And so, you know, I've got some things that we don't even need to talk about, right? But we all kind of have these things in our life. Is there something that, you know, this one person or this job situation, and maybe it's even a couple of years old. Mine's old, but I know I need to let go of that. And I know I still have it because it kind of still riles me up. It may take me, Susie, the whole year to fulfill this resolution, but that's mine. So you got me on that.
I'm so grateful. Thank you for sharing. And this is why we do that, because, you know, when God speaks a word to you and he speaks it through you, someone else is receiving it going, okay, that's something I need to do as well. And we can only benefit, you know, when we rid our hearts of that stuff, because it's the pure in heart who see God. And as you start to really, you know, deal with that and push that out and give God room. I mean, imagine what he's going to do as he speaks to you and what kind of healing and restoration he's going to bring. Well, I would love a little backstory just on your journey, Farron. How did God impress upon your heart to look upon the poor, to say, I care about these people and I want you to as well?
I am a grown-up pastor's kid. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad were pastors. So I'm one of those PKs, right? We all know about the mm-hmm. PKs sometimes. And I probably was one of those little troublemakers. And all the all the deacons in the church gave me that grumpy look like, we're watching you. And, but my parents were so real and so authentic. So I'm so thankful. They weren't just people that talk the talk. They lived it at home. They put a high priority on our family and our relationships. And so I don't have a lot of baggage from that. And I'm so thankful for parents that love Jesus, so that when it came time for me as a teenager to sort of say, hey, you can't be my parents' faith, it's got to be mine, I made that decision as a teenager. And then I attended Evangel College, and I thought I was going to be a Christian radio announcer. And actually, I have been in Christian radio for over 30 years in my career. I've worked at different mostly Christian music radio stations, but I've been thankful to work for some great Christian radio groups. And even in the middle of all that, I love the ministry side. Now, it's one thing to be a DJ, right? And that's probably what I wanted to be when I was in college. I'll be a DJ. But it's more about the lives that are being impacted. And I'm sure you realize, you know, Susie, if you've been in this as long as you have, at some point it's like, yeah, I'm on the radio. That's not such a big deal anymore. But man, when you hear somebody who says, thank you for talking about this or that, it changed my life. It set me on a course. I made a decision while I had the radio on that day. That's always been what has driven me. And I've loved Christian radio. But now I get to do the most meaningful work of my entire life, because I get to be on the radio, and I'm on radio stations all across America trying to get kids sponsored, because, man, you talk about ministry. I have been to these countries. I've seen our work, and I know the effectiveness of child sponsorships. That's the quick story of how I got here and why I'm here today.
That's so great. Talk, if you would, about One Child for those maybe you've never heard of that particular organization.
Best kept secret, right? You probably, if you're listening right now, you've heard of Compassion International and World Vision. Those groups are doing a lot of the same things we're doing, only they're much larger, much more well-known. One Child, though, has been around. I want you to know we're not some fly-by-night brand new. We've been around for over 60 years. As a matter of fact, cool story, back in the 50s, this couple, late 50s, their names were Mark and Hulda Buntain. The Buntains started an orphanage in Calcutta, India, and they were right across the street from Mother Teresa's orphanage. They had a great relationship, even up until Mother Teresa's death and up until the Buntains died. Great relationship. There is so much need in Calcutta. That's where it all started. As a matter of fact, in the 1980s, when Mark died, then Mother Teresa came to his funeral and said to his wife, Hulda, you must continue the work. So we started at this orphanage. It was called Calcutta Mercy. Later in the 80s, we started, this is all before my time, but we all started working in other countries. And those orphanages and those works were called Mission of Mercy. Maybe you've heard the name Mission of Mercy before, because for 20 years, the organization was called Mission of Mercy. And then most recently, we did do a name change from Mission of Mercy to One Child, working right now in 14 countries, serving 40,000 kids that are being sponsored by U.S. sponsored, just making a difference.
Wow. Talk about how child sponsorship works.
Yeah. Glad you're asking about that, because I believe this is some of the most effective missions work that can be done. Child sponsorship on this end is child development. On that end, on the missional side, right, we're trying to develop kids. We're trying to develop a generational change through a community, and it starts with a child. it also starts with, we work with local churches. Now, not every child sponsorship organization works with local churches. We do, because we want, and by the way, if you go to a lot of the countries that One Child is in, you won't see a bunch of big banners for One Child. We want that church to be the focus. We want that church and that local pastor to be who people look to and say, wow, this church is impacting my community, not just some U.S. international organization. So we don't brand ourselves really big. We work with a local church. We serve children. And these churches are all committed to serving children. And we do this one child at a time through a child sponsorship. You can help a child to receive nutrition, food, educational assistance, and various other needs. We get into the medical work. We help children with checkups and things. But most of all, of course, working with that local church, it's all about, hey, we're going to tell them about Jesus. We're going to introduce Jesus to them. We're going to tell them, hey, yeah, your family's living. And by the way, these churches are always in areas of extreme poverty. We're here to tell these kids, though, even though you're living in poverty, God has a purpose for you. God knows who you are. And we're here to tell you about Jesus through our work.
Boy, that's fantastic. Talking to Farron Dace today, he is here representing One Child. When we come back from the break, I want to know how you picked and how and why they picked the name One Child. And we are partnering, honored to be partnering with One Child. What an incredible legacy, what an incredible ministry. And you think of all the children yet to be sponsored. If you want a personal look at the child maybe that God's calling you to sponsor, just hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, and look. You'll see that become a One Child sponsor. And even when you click on the button, sponsor a child, you're not automatically sponsoring a child. That gives you kind of a drop down, and you start to see all the children waiting for sponsorship. You can kind of get to know each one, pray through, and see whom God might have you sponsor. We are praying and hoping that we can sponsor 250 children, but you guys are overachievers, so I'm believing we could do 300. I think we could do better, don't you? Don't go away. More with Farron Dace in a moment. Glad to have you listening to Sizzy Larson Live. I'm talking to Farron Dace today, and he is the National Director for Radio and Artist Engagement with One Child. And One Child is this global community of child champions that serves children in poverty so they can discover hope and reach their God-given potential. This thing just makes my heart beat faster because I care so much about us as God's people reaching our God-given potential. We talk about that so often on the show, and I care so much about the poor. So to marry these together is so amazing to me, and we are partnering with One Child in hopes, and you're hearing a lot about it these last couple of days, but we are really hoping and praying to be able to sponsor 250 children. And again, just because we are overachievers, this group is an amazing group. I'm praying for 300. If you want more information on a child you could potentially sponsor, maybe you have the means to sponsor three children or five children, hop on our website, myfaithradio.com. Look for the One Child sponsor link. Click on it, and you'll get a picture of all these beautiful children who are waiting for help. And it's so amazing that One Child, I love that you said, Farron, that you guys don't heavily brand yourselves, you know, in these 14 countries where you work. Kevin and I do some work in Rwanda. And, you know, it is interesting how when the Americans, you know, swoop in and put their big logo on something, there's something about that that's off-putting, and just I don't like it. And so, just I'm speaking personally here. So the idea of working with the nationals there who are already ministering and partnering with them to help them and encourage and support them to be the hands and feet of Christ only supports the community, only builds trust in the community. And it's like we're staying in the shadows, but we're giving our resources to help you do more of what you do. That's just my heartbeat. So I just thank you so much for what you're doing.
Well, your guy, Paul works with Carmen in the mornings on My Faith Radio. And Paul went with me down to Honduras, and we took, we visited some hope centers. And by the way, One Child always works with a local church. And again, it's all about empowering that local church to do the work of ministry. And these local churches then will have a hope center for kids to come to come to and get fed, to come to and get some educational help. There are classrooms to get nutritional help. And so it's not just the church. It's this community center, this hope center that is working in the community. And the reason I mentioned that, Paul was in a conversation where we were talking with the Hope Center director, and it was right smack in the middle of a dangerous gang infested area. And we were talking with the Hope Center director right there in Honduras. We said, do you have any problems with gangs? And she almost laughed. She said, no, the gangs send their kids to our Hope Centers and they protect us. We have zero issues with the gangs. They love what we're doing in the community. So they want their kids to have a safe place to come to, right? And to have a good, empowering, finding out about God, getting fed, those kind of things are all happening at Hope Centers in 14 different countries. So if you go to My Faith Radio right now, their website, you can look at these kids. And I want you to look at one. There's one child that you could click on right now. And by the way, there's details. You'll find out how old that child is. You'll find out what they like to do, what their hobbies are, what they want to be. They all have big dreams. There's a child I'm looking at right now that wants to be a police officer. Isn't that interesting, right? In a gang-infested area, another child that wants to be a surgeon. Maybe there's a doctor listening right now or a nurse. Oh, I should sponsor that child. Or maybe a child has your birth date or your granddaughter's birth date. God's going to lead you to just the right child if you check out this link on our website. And that's myfaithradio.com.
So speaking of Paul, we'll be talking to him the second half of the show today, just hearing about his trip and just, you know, kind of getting a boots on the ground perspective from him. So I love that you brought him up. I'm just curious how, when you changed your name to One Child, how did you guys come up with that name and why?
I wished it was like really, really brilliant, but I think it is. It's simple, but brilliant. But as, and this is preceding me, but as they began to talk about, again, Mission of Mercy was our name for so many years, long time ministry that's been working in the field. But there are some countries right now where you can't, you should not say mission. And I'll just be honest with you, India is one of those. Mm. India has kicked out a bunch of huge international ministries. Wow. We're still there. We're still working in India. They have kicked out. I'll even throw this out. People like Compassion International are no longer able to work in India. Now, maybe it's because we're smaller. Maybe it's because we're not as branded, but we're working in India. And you could sponsor an Indian child right now. You can see those kids. And you could, and all the 14 countries are listed here. But that's at myfaithradio.com. But, you know, it really is all about one child. If you're listening right now, so the name One Child, I think this is a moment in time, if you're listening right now, where you should ponder, can I sponsor one child? I'm one person. I think it's all about creating a meaningful connection between you and one child. Not, you know, Lord, I can't solve the problems of the entire world. I can't change the world. What if you could change the world for one child? What if this could all of a sudden bring the mission field closer to you? As a matter of fact, we are going to encourage you to write to your child, and your child will even write back to you. Your child will pray for you. Your child will know that he or she is sponsored. So you're going to be blessed by this as much as the child is going to be blessed by this. Trust me, I just got a letter from my child, Luis, who is in the Dominican Republic. And they have translators. Luis can only write in Spanish, but the translators write what Luis says. Man, I was so blessed to get that letter unexpectedly in the mail. Your child will write to you. You can write to your child. Please do. We will give you a little refrigerator magnet that you can put with the picture of your child right on your refrigerator so you can tell your kids, hey, this is our sponsor child. He lives in India. She lives in India. Let's pray for her today. She might be praying for us. Think about that. A child in poverty might be praying for you.
Wow. On the website, it says, every child in our program is known, loved, and cared for by a well-qualified, experienced, and mature adult. So for each of these children, sponsored by One Child, they're seen, they're known, they're embraced. And what else is so amazing to me is, you know, because children grow up and they age out of the system, so to speak, and you at One Child also have a commitment to help teach them trades, to help to equip them so that they can navigate their culture. Say a word about that.
Yeah, older kids are involved in sewing classes and other trade classes just like that. We were so thrilled to hear this, and I was surprised. One of the Hope Centers, we went to three Hope Centers in Honduras, and Paul was there. Paul from Mornings with Carmen was there. Three of the Hope Centers, and one of the Hope Centers said, hey, we just want you to know, tell this to the corporate office. Every child that is graduating out of the program is going to university this year, and that is a first for us. That's not a guarantee. Kids have a hard time going to university. So, you know, one child is working with kids, by the way, between the ages of about 5 and about 16 or 17. We have them graduate out of the program at that point. We are all about serving children. What a story. All of the kids at that One Hope Center are able to go to university. Man, those kids are finding their purpose. First of all, they know it starts with Jesus, having God in their life. And then they're starting to believe, you know what, just because my parents have always lived on less than $2 a day, and just because we live in this one-room house, maybe I can go to university. Maybe I can make a change in my community. Maybe I can be a pastor. Maybe I could be a nurse. Maybe I could be a surgeon. I love when kids in poverty are dreaming big dreams.
Amen and amen. Let's talk for just a moment. We just have a few minutes left, but Happy Horizons Ranch, this is what it says on the website. Happy Horizons Ranch, its partner with One Child, is a place of healing for sex trafficked survivors in the Philippines. Rescued girls are often referred to as sex trafficked victims, but child champions at Happy Horizons help them see themselves as survivors. Sadly, sexual abuse of children is a growing problem in the Philippines. You can read more about that on One Child's website, but say just a word, if you would, about Happy Horizons Ranch.
Yeah, One Child works with organizations in 14 different countries, 300 Hope Centers. That is 300 churches we're working with. And again, we're empowering these local ministries to do the work they are called to do. We're not putting them in a box and saying, well, you must do it exactly this way. In Honduras, they're working in gang-infested areas. In India, we already talked about, it's amazing, One Child still working there. In the Philippines, sex trafficking is a major problem. And we found this partner that you just talked about, Happy Horizons Ranch. They are rescuing girls on a regular basis. They have a bunch that are in the program living at Happy Horizons Ranch that have been rescued from sex trafficking. I know the organizational leaders there, Kelly and Mark, are amazing, Jesus-loving people serving these kids in what a problem. You know, that needs to be solved, but we're doing it one child at a time. If you go to myfaithradio.com and you choose a child, and God's going to lead you to the specific child, take a little bit of time. Find the one that just the right age, just the, you know, God's going to say, that's the one. And then you're going to find out more and more things about what's going on in their country and what the Hope Center is doing behind the scenes. So, but we start with, we're serving one child, bringing the mission field. Sometimes the mission field seems like it's a million miles away, right? You might hear about it in church. I want to bring it right to your doorstep.
Come on.
This child
Amen.
On your refrigerator will change your outlook for the world. You'll change the world for one child.
One child. Farron Dice is my guest today. Next, Paul Perreault will be joining me. But we, aren't you just passionate as you hear about this? You know, human trafficking, I would say, is the most base crime against humanity. We can step in and make a difference. Hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, and sponsor a child today. Farron, thanks for the time. I know you're a busy man. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. It's Susie, thanks for all you do.
Yeah. We'll be back in a moment.
Everything will be alright. The whole world's in his hands. Your whole world's in his hands.
I cannot get enough of that song. Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. We're in the middle of our One Child campaign, and we believe it's possible, given the wealth that exists in the world today, to eliminate global poverty. And if we each do our part together, you know what? We can change the world. So right now, if you go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and you click on the One Child link, you're going to find beautiful faces of children who are waiting to be sponsored. Only $39 a month will change their community and change their lives. Joining me now is Paul Perreault. He is a good friend. He's the producer for the morning show with Carmen. But I just want to say a word about him that will make him squirm. But hey, it's my show, so I get to do what I want, right? But I have known Paul for many, many years, and he's one of the unsung heroes at Faith Radio. He knows everything. I mean, truly, if there's any question behind the scenes about radio, he's got an answer. He's just one of the most humble men I've ever met. And there's a part of Paul that reminds me of Joseph. And, you know, Joseph, there was a dream spoken over his life. And one of the parts of Joseph's story that sticks out to me the most is when Joseph was in prison, you know, unjustly accused, thrown into prison. And there's two men were there, and they were so down. And in so many words, Joseph says, "Hey, why the long face?" And so I'm thinking, what do you mean? You're in prison. You're unjustly accused. And you're asking them why the long face. And the point being, he stewarded his heart in such a way that he could see people who were hurting in spite of his own not yets and minister to the needs in front of him. And that's who Paul is. I mean, I just remember walking through some things and knowing Paul had some of his own hurts, bleeding under his own armor. Yet he saw me and he stopped me at the station and said, "How's it going? How are you feeling?" And that's who Paul is. And I love this dear brother. And I feel like we're richer at Faith Radio because he's on our team. And you probably hear a little bit from him in the mornings, but I'm so grateful you get to hear more from him right now. Paul, welcome to the show.
I am squirming.
Yeah.
It's very sweet of you. Very sweet. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you so much. And I just think it's so fun to get some of our producers on the mic once in a while so people know, you know, how deep the character goes at Faith Radio, and you add so much to us, so appreciate that. Now, I'm going to be putting you on the spot here because I forgot to tell you that I was asking you this question. So if you don't have a verse reference, totally okay. But just in general, what's the Lord been speaking to you about these days? If you have a verse, great. If there's a story or just a thought or an impression, what has he been prompting you to think about these days?
Well, I don't have a verse I'm working on right now, but I'm starting at the beginning of the year, I'm doing something I've done in the past where I read through a book of the Bible and just keep repeating. Actually, I did this with, one year I did the Pauline epistles and then the non-Pauline epistles, then I did the Gospels. And I thought, I got to go back to the Gospels. And so I start with John and just circling through that. I read through it once, now I'm reading through it a second time. I'll do that probably for the first quarter of the year, if not longer. But it always strikes me with the Gospel of John, you really get to know the heart of Jesus in such deep ways. Somebody said, you know, his goal in life, what he wanted to be for his people, you know, he's gentle and lowly. I think that's what Dane Ortlund's book, and that was kind of his calling card. Well, what that verse, I think in Matthew talks about, oh, you see it all over the place in John. What he said there, he lived out. And just seeing that about him and how he's calling us into that kind of life as well. So it used to be John was my least favorite gospel. It has become probably my favorite one because of going through this reading process.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I love about John's gospel is John, you know, identifies himself as the one Jesus loved. And people, you know, always kind of go, wait, what? But I think when you're so captivated by the love of God, it's not like he's saying I'm his favorite. It's just that's what I'm known by is I'm loved by God. I'm loved. I'm the one Jesus loves. If I'm known for anything, that's what I'm known for. I think that's just so beautiful. Well, thank you for that. And what a cool idea to just keep repeating through a book because the word's living and active, and we're going to keep getting new things from Scripture. So one child, Honduras, tell me, how did it come about that, you know, one day in our staff meeting, you know, let's pray for Paul. He's going to Honduras. What? So tell me how that came about.
Well, we as an organization, the University of Northwestern, have committed to helping out the organization One Child. And so what they wanted to do is take representatives of each of our stations or entities, in our case, Faith Radio, which is all these stations and the online presence and such. They're saying, we need to send somebody from Faith Radio down. And Neil asked a few, and he came to me, and I said, sure, I'd love to try and learn more about what they're doing. I've never been to a place like Honduras before, and I thought, this would be interesting. And I actually had I'm the news. I help with the news and helping Carmen do the morning show, which is kind of applying the mind of Christ to the news and issues of the day. And we hear about these caravans that are coming up from Central America to the United States trying to cross over. And I wanted to know why. So I had multiple reasons, but that was one of the reasons. I wanted to know why. What is happening there that would cause people to want to flee? I found out.
Say more.
Well, you know, when you fly into that country, it's beautiful from the air. As you're coming in, you're getting ready to land at the Tegucigalpa Airport, which is a exciting airport to land in on a very short runway with a full-size jet. But, you know, as you're coming in, you're seeing the shoreline. It's beautiful. You're coming in seeing the mountains, which are gorgeous, and the terrace farming. Everything's beautiful. Then you get closer. And you see the slums. You see the rubble. You see from the air that something's not right. And that's kind of what I sensed as we were going through the country. Not that it didn't have its beauty, but it also, you could see the trouble that was there.
God, Paul, it just makes me, you know, you talk about this beautiful country, and yet you get a little closer and you see the ripple effect of corrupt government and poor leadership and that kind of thing. It just is a reminder, because Scripture does talk about that how the people suffer when those in leadership are not fearing God. And it's a good reminder for all of us just to be praying regularly for leaders in every nation, not just our nation. It's so easy to get myopic, you know, but try to imagine that country flourishing under good leadership. I mean, try to imagine, you know, people's land flourishing and their hearts and their families and communities flourishing because someone is standing in the gap protecting, not corrupting. I mean, it just puts fire at my bones to pray.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because, okay, we arrived there in early November. Later that month, they were having presidential elections. Now, we sometimes struggle with only having two choices. They had like 15, 16 candidates running, one of whom was arrested at the airport some hours after we had landed and left. But because he was there, again, corruption, you mentioned is right. Corruption is there's a lot of that there. As a matter of fact, just the other day I was looking at an article that talked about what are the most corrupt nations in the world. Well, the corruption index of the various nations. It had, 160-some nations listed. And not that Honduras was at the bottom, but it was toward the bottom. And and you're right. I mean, here's a country. They have wonderful natural resources, a beautiful country, a beautiful people. But because of the corruption as one of the issues, they're held back. They're held down.
And yet, one child is allowed to be there while other big ministries have been kicked out. One child has a presence there. I mean, God always will make a way. That is just so amazing to me. And one child is there in the midst of corrupt leadership. Talk about what that was like for you, like touring the Hope Centers and just getting a boots on the ground view of what God is doing there amidst the brokenness.
That was amazing meeting these people. It was the first day we went out, we spent a full day at one of the Hope Centers. And I wish I could remember the name of the Hope Center or the director's name and the pastor. It was actually, again, the Hope Centers are based out of churches. These are churches that see their need in their community. As a matter of fact, okay, the pastor he and his wife run it. The wife is the director. He was sent there from another church to do this. And this is, you know, as he and his wife were just getting married and his wife was kind of going, what are you talking about? Going to this area over here, this impoverished area to do this. But that's what the pastor who was sending them out said, this is where God is sending you. And he's like, okay, if that's where God's sending me, I'm going. And so he went, and the area looked pretty lush now. It wasn't so when he got there. It was literally a junkyard.
Wow.
It was a garbage heap. As a matter of fact, I'll get this later, but there was a, he built an area or set up an area to be a kind of a soccer field which is kind of interesting because you had a cliff on one side going down and then just a sheer rock face on the other. So it's kind of compacted in. But that was one of the key areas where the garbage was. And while some of the other members of the Northwestern team were playing soccer with the youth there, I was walking on the sideline and noticed a piece of rebar and kind of go, ooh, let's get that out of here. And I found a place to put it where it's safe because I didn't want anybody landing on that because that would be painful. But, you know, it was a junkyard. He was sent to a junkyard. And yet he slowly but surely, they started with one small building and expanded and expanded. And now they have, like I said, that area that's serving as a soccer field, which the director has a vision of it being actually a kind of small soccer stadium. They want to do some more work around it. You have that. You have a large semi-open-air building that serves as their worship center for both the church as well as helps out at the Hope Center. They have a kitchen. I mean, they really built this up. And that was just the building. But getting to meet them, getting to hear their story, getting to sense their vision, they have a call. They have a desire to have an impact on the lives of these kids, to basically change their lives, to give them a sense of hope, to let them know, hey, you are loved by God. And anyway, all that he's done there, and then meeting the various child champions, the other volunteers that are there, these are some pretty tender but tough people who are just doing amazing things.
Wow. You know, every amazing work of God I've ever seen starts out with somebody being willing to step into the wreckage of a need and just do the next thing and then the next thing. And then before you know it, the junkyard has turned into a soccer field and there are, you know, clinics and schools. And you know, and when we come in and we go, how did this happen? And they're just as in awe as we are, but they just kept following the breadcrumbs, you know, doing the next thing. And we just have a moment before we go to break, but talk about mama bears in Honduras. You've mentioned that before. I love that because I'm a mama bear and I do love the term. What do you say?
The mama bears. That most of the directors, and to be honest, most of the volunteers at these Hope Centers are women. And they have a tenacious love. They will defend their kids. Now, you got to remember Honduras. You have the gang activity. And, you know, it's not like oftentimes we look at it because the people actually, there's a respect for the gangs because it's a counterbalance. You have the corrupt government, and yes, you have the corrupt gangs, but they keep each other at bay. So people have a sense that they can somehow live their lives if they follow, you know, they don't get outside the gang's lines, but, you know, they can live lives. Now, oftentimes people need to cross between gang territories, and that can be a dangerous thing. And one of the stories that I heard about, I met the lady. They met this mama bear, and she is petite. If she is 5 feet, that's lucky. She's gray-haired, but she was willing, you know, because there's this one child that needed to cross from one gang's territory into another. And that can be dangerous. There are people who lose their lives or disappear when they do that. So she went to the gang leader who's, you know, into her territory where she was, because this kid was coming from another territory, and basically went to the gang leader and said, this child is coming to help, are coming to our Hope Center to get, you know, we're going to love up on this child, and I want you to let him through. Now, the gang leader is kind of going, mother, they call all the ladies that run these places mother. Mother, we know you. We know your kids. We now recognize that child. He can come through, no problem.
Wow. I got to pause here, but wow. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that kind of tenacity and humility and wisdom. Wow, that I'm speechless talking to Paul Perot, one of our Faith Radio team members. But he traveled to Honduras on behalf of one child and is coming back really as an ambassador to give us a glimpse into that world. What if the child that you sponsor is from Honduras? We are so honored to partner with One Child. We hope you'll hop on our website. We're doing just a big push these couple of days here. And myfaithradio.com, look for the One Child link. And if you want, you'll click on the button that says sponsor a child. And that doesn't automatically commit you. It just gives you a look at the children waiting for you. And maybe there's one who shares your birthday. Maybe there's one who shares your name or a country that a family member or loved one is from. I'm looking at one from the Philippines because I've got a loved one who's from the Philippines. So what about you? MyFaithRadio.com. More with Paul Perreault in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. So grateful to be partnering with One Child, and we are hoping, praying that Faith Radio can blow past the 250 goal to sponsoring possibly 300 children. Wouldn't that be amazing? Some of you have the means to sponsor one child. Some others have a means to adopt a family of kids, maybe five kids, and you can check it out on our website, myfaithradio.com. Hit the One Child link, and you'll see just a bunch of beautiful faces of children who are waiting to be sponsored. And again, maybe there's a connection for you because they share your birthday, or they share your name, or they're from a country of someone that you love, or maybe it's a place that you have a heart for. And I'm talking to Paul Perreault, who's our dear friend and team member, producer for Mornings with Carmen. He traveled to Honduras on behalf of One Child and on behalf of us, and he's giving us an inside glimpse of life there. And you were talking about this interesting dynamic, Paul, of corrupt government and then corrupt gangs, but just kind of them kind of keeping each other at bay. You know, this is terrible, but what it reminds me of is like in a Jurassic Park scene when a dinosaur comes out ready to attack the actors, and then you think they're finished, and then another dinosaur comes out and they go after each other, and then the actors get away. So it's kind of like that, right? But not really.
Yeah, there's definitely a similarity, yes.
But I mean, you're talking about these women who work in these hope centers who are so protective of their kids to the point of going to a gang member leader saying, I've got a child crossing over your territory. I want you to give him safe passage. Go ahead.
Can
please.
I tell you another story? Another one of these mama bears?
Yes.
Another
wow.
director. Okay, there was a young lady who's becoming a teenager, and there was a gang member, a younger gang member, falling in love with her and was trying to woo her away. And the mama bear basically faced up to him and the gang leader saying, hey, you stay away from my young lady, my child here. And the leader of the gang, again, kind of going, you do what mother says. You leave that girl alone, telling the younger gang member. It's like they're not afraid.
Hmm.
Or even if they are, they don't let the fear stop them from doing what they need to do. They are tenacious.
Wow.
They are mama bears.
Wow. And the idea that, you know, they're doing the hard, good work, and these gang leaders know that, you know, I mean, they are making a difference in even people who are seeped in, you know, like gang activity, know right from wrong. Deep inside, they know these are people who could be anywhere else but there, and yet they're standing in the gap for these children, which is just miraculous, isn't it?
It is miraculous. And another aspect about it is, okay, a lot of the children, I won't say all of them, but many of the children in these hope centers are children of gang members.
Wow.
Because the gang members realize, I don't want this for my kids. I want to give them a chance, an opportunity. And I know through the Hope Center, they might have a different future.
Hmm.
So there's a relationship with the gangs, but the gangs realize these kids are getting something that they're not getting anywhere else. They're getting something good, and they see that.
You know, Jesus says, when you do this for the least of these, you're doing it for me. You're doing it for me. And another scripture says, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he will repay you. And I just feel like that's such a good Samaritan story, going, take care of them, and I will pay the bill no matter what it is. I mean, God is really saying, take care of these needs, I'll take care of you. I'll pay the bill. And he doesn't owe us anything. He gave us salvation, but he's so passionate about the poor. He's saying, do what I'm asking you to do, and I will take care of you. And there is that dynamic, Paul. We don't give to get, but we get to give. We say that all the time. And when you tend to the things that God cares about. You really are shouting to the world, this is what God is like. He's asked me to do this. I'm not so great that I'm doing this. This is God's heart. I'm just reflecting his heart. And you can know for sure he'll take care of you. And I think about a little more than a dollar a day will change a community. And maybe make that just a case for that, because this is a very accessible way to address global poverty.
It really is, because, okay, $39 a month doesn't get us a lot here in the USA. But in other parts of the world, that's a lot of money. And that money is being used to sponsor a child, to help them out nutritionally, physically, medically. It's used to help them out academically. And actually, it was interesting because we talked to the nation director, a gentleman. I can't remember. I'm terrible with names. I'm sorry, Susie.
Do you remember my name? Oh, you got my name.
I got your name right. Don't worry. And your producer, Jill, does a great... No, just kidding, Angie. Just kidding. No, but
see,
anyway...
You're ahead of the game.
I'm ahead of the game. But it was interesting. He pointed out, yeah, we can provide the academic, the physical, and needs of the children. But then there's that added element, the spiritual element, that gospel element. And as he said, if we didn't do that, all we're doing is training future gang leaders.
Wow.
Our gang members. No, wow. This is a holistic helping these kids. And if I can back up, it's redemptive. That's something we noticed that kind of hit us, like I mentioned, when we visited the first Hope Center. The guy, not only the people there, not only redeemed the land, that's the outward appearance of what's happening inside these kids' hearts on a daily basis. Mm. Redeeming them, bringing them into the kingdom, and then sending them out to do good, to be part of what God was planning to do from the beginning, to expand his kingdom. And they're not only just redeeming these kids, the hope is these kids will redeem their nation.
Come on, come on. You know, as you're talking, Paul, I'm thinking of scripture that says, you know, that the Lord, his plan is to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future, and to communicate to these children, Jeremiah 29:11, at such a young age, about the hope of Jesus Christ, gives them a sense that they have a hope and a future. Because again, if you go on our website and you see these kids, they already have a vision for their life. They're not saying, I hope to be a future gang member, or, you know, I hope, you know, not to die before I'm 10. They're saying, I want to be a police officer. I want to be a doctor. Like, they have a hope and a future. They have the idea that hope is not only a reality for them, but a future is possible.
That is so true. And I got a chance to meet some of the graduates who are now, some are helping out as volunteers at these Hope Centers. Some are going on other things. And you can see it in their eyes. And you can see it in the way they conduct it and how they're living their lives. They have this hope that is compelling them to do greater things. The kids and the young people I saw outside of the Hope Centers, not that I spent a lot of time because you had to be careful, but there was that general sense of, what else is there? I you know, I'm just going to be maybe a day laborer if I'm not a gang member. And there's no hope. All of a sudden you have kids saying, nah, because of God, I can do something better. I can be something, and I can give back to other people. And it, again, it's that transformation that it compelled me so much that shortly after I got home and talking with Jessica, my wife, we wanted to sponsor a young lady. And I said, let's make it Honduras, because I really feel for the people of Honduras right now. And so, yes, Maylin is our child. And we're proud to be sponsoring her.
When I think of that pastor who, you know, stepped into the junkyard and then turned it into a soccer field, and once he realized what was possible, started to have vision, you know, more and more vision for the future, that doesn't happen without resources.
No.
You know, the other people in the past have said, I believe in helping to redeem this countryside, these communities, and these lives. And now God has invited us to partner with One Child to say, can we help them have a hope and a future? Because we have means, you know, almost everybody can afford a little over a dollar a day. And Paul, I just want to thank you for making the trek and for communicating so beautifully the vision. Really, you are a treasured brother. I just don't even think you know how much I appreciate your heart and the way that you serve. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I pray that you found some inspiration here today. Check out our website, myfaithradio.com. Prayerfully just kind of scroll through the children and ask God, who would you have me sponsor? What would you have me do? What's the breadcrumb that I should follow? But I'm also asking you, get a vision for how God wants to use you to change the world, because I guarantee you, his vision is bigger than yours. His plans are bigger and more audacious than yours. So say, Lord, here I am. I'm available. I'll do whatever you say. And then take the next step. Have a really great day. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.